Everybody who made it here in the house, hello to all of you here, and everybody, good morning, and everybody who's out there watching online, so glad that you're joining us, and whether you're in here or out there, again, just that you're giving God this hour is a big deal, and that you're allowing us to be a part of that hour. We don't take that for granted. We're so glad as we come in here and we worship God, celebrate Jesus together, and get ready for his arrival here for Christmas, and so we're just glad that you are with us, and so let's get to it. If you have your Bibles or electronics, go ahead and grab those, get those out and open them up to Luke chapter 1. And as you're getting there to Luke 1, before we get to the message, you heard about our Christmas services, so I just want to give us a little bit of an update on where we're at. So here's where we are right now with our Christmas services. So we have at today, before the first service at least, 2,000 people have already signed up or registered for a service. That's awesome, everybody. So 2,000 of you have already said, yes, we're going to a service. Now, that's two out of three, that's two-thirds. We're expecting 3,000. So if you haven't signed up, please do that. But here's what we have available, just so you know. And this was as of before the first service, so these might have changed already. But Sunday, the 21st, 4 and 6 are already full. They're already full. And then you can see what we have left. The next one to go is Tuesday at 6. We only have 88 seats left. And then you kind of see. Now, I do not know what's going on with our 8 o'clock services, everybody, okay? Like, I don't know what's happening there. They are wide open as far as, like, available seats. Now, here's what we tried to do. We tried to make a service for you party animals out there, but I guess we're all party poopers at River Ridge Church, all right? Like, 8 o'clock is just, you're like, 8 o'clock, ah! Like, I don't know. So we learned our lesson. No more 8 o'clock services, all right? But so just so you know. And you know what? Maybe like our 8 o'clock people are our late people, and so you're late and then you're late. So I believe in you. I believe in you. I know you're gonna be signed up for 8 o'clock service. But really quick, I do wanna talk to two groups of people in here before we get to the message really quick. One, if you already signed up for a service, thank you for doing that. That it's a big deal for us. We want to make a room for everybody, and we did it last year, and we're able to do it again if everybody signs. So thank you for doing that. But here's what I want to say. If you signed up, just so you know, you signing up for a service, it didn't give you like a numbered seat, okay? And why I say that is if you're bringing a group or you're bringing your family and you want to sit where you normally sit, you're going to be competing with two other services where there's two other people sitting where you sit right now, okay? Just saying, at the other two services. So I would say, don't come here 5 minutes before Christmas service expecting to find a row of seats available, all right? Like, do yourself a favor. Get here like at least 20 minutes before, and then you'll find your seats. You won't be mad at guest services. You won't be a Grinch and all that stuff, all right? So try to get here at least 20 minutes before service. And again, just so you know, you registering does like give you a spot. We're hoping that everybody honors that, the fact that it's full, they won't come, but it doesn't give you an assigned seat. Here's the second group of people. If you have not registered yet, please do that. Please do that today. And I know it's only December 7th, but we already have like 2,000 people signed up. So please try to figure that out with your family or people you're bringing up. Or if you're, for whatever reason, you're like, I'm not signing up. I don't know. Some of you might just not do it. If you're not going to do it, that's fine. Like, you don't have to sign up to come. But I'm asking you, please do it. But at least don't come to a service that's full, okay? Please don't come to a service that's full. Here's why. Like, we are making as much room available as we can, and there are gonna be visitors and new people coming that have no idea that they had to register for services. So we made a little bit of a buffer for each service to have room for those folks. But if you guys come to a full service, as that room's gonna be gone. We don't want that for new people or visitors. Hopefully that makes sense. So again, if you're not gonna register, at least just don't come to the ones that are full. Come to the ones, apparently 8 o'clock is the one you want to come to, everybody, all right? Like, 8 o'clock, you should be fine. But either way, whether you're already registered or you're getting ready to do that, we are really looking forward to our Christmas services. Every service is the same. Everyone's going to end in a candlelight service. You're not going to want to miss it, and so we're all looking forward to it. Hopefully you sign up. That's my spiel for that, all right? Well, we are in a series that we're calling Real Christmas. And what we're doing is we are watching clips from the Christmas movies that we all watch during the season and love. And we want to tie in the real reason that we celebrate Christmas, which is Jesus coming to earth, Jesus coming from heaven to earth. And what we're hoping happens is that we can watch these movies just in a new way, in a Jesus way, in a different way, that maybe there's an element that we could bring in and be like, oh yeah, I remember that. And that just, I don't know, sparked something about the real Christmas story. And so today's movie is The Santa Claus. How many fans of The Santa Claus movie? Yeah? All right, well, even if you're not, here's a clip.
You accepted the contract.
What contract?
the card in the Santa suit. You said you read it, right? So when you put on the suit, he fell subject to the Santa Claus. Here.
The Santa Claus? Oh, you mean the guy that fell off my roof?
No, not Santa Claus the person, Santa Claus the clause.
What?
You're a businessman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A clause, as in the last line of a contract. You got the card? Okay, look. The Santa Claus. In putting on the suit and entering the sleigh, the wearer waives any and all rights to any previous identity, real or implied, and fully accepts the duties and responsibilities of Santa Claus in perpetuity until such time that wearer becomes unable to do so by either accident or design.
What does that mean?
It means you put on the suit, you're the big guy.
It's ridiculous. I never put on a suit as a...
Try to understand this! Let me explain something to you, okay? Toys have to be delivered. I'm not gonna do it. It's not my job. I'm just an elf. It's Santa's job, but Santa fell off the roof. Your roof. You read the card, you put on the suit that clearly falls under the Santa Claus, so now you're Santa, okay?
A question.
What?
When can I get out of here?
Dad, you gotta see this place!
You leave tomorrow morning. You have 11 months to get your affairs in order, and you're due back here Thanksgiving.
I'm not coming back here on Thanksgiving.
I'll ship the list to your house.
What list?
Come on. A list. He's making a list.
Tracking it twice.
You gotta find out who's
nice. You put a P next to the kids who are nice and a C next to the naughty ones.
P and C?
Yeah. P for present, C for cool. Right, Bernard?
Right. Wait a minute. How do I know who's good and bad?
You'll know.
What if I don't want to do this?
Don't even kid about a thing like that.
Why not? What if I don't buy into this Santa Claus thing? What if I choose not to believe it?
Then there would be millions of disappointed children around the world. You see, children hold the spirit of Christmas.
Man, I love that baby. That baby's my favorite part of the movie. It's like, ooh, I love that. All right, so here's the scene. In this scene, the guy Scott Calvin, who becomes Santa Claus, he is doing everything he can to convince the lead elf that there's been this big mix-up, right? There's been some kind of mess-up. He didn't sign up for this. He didn't want to do it. He didn't want it. He just wants his normal life back. And you can feel his frustration, right? Because his plans... His expectations, his version of how life was supposed to go, it all gets flipped upside down in a single night. And you know, I wonder if any of us have ever felt like that, right? That you had plans for your life, or maybe you had a plan, and then life happens and something that we didn't ask for, something we didn't expect, something we definitely didn't plan comes up. You know, for me, I've got several of those times in my life. I'm sure all of us do. I remember growing up, I was absolutely definitely going to be a veterinarian. That didn't work out, everybody, okay? Like, that didn't happen, but I for sure thought I was going to. When I graduated college, I was so sure that I was going to Alaska. I didn't line up any job interviews here. I had job interviews lined up. Two other guys were going with me. We got everything ready. I got studded tires for my truck. We were all driving out there, got everything going, and the week before we were supposed to leave, it all fell apart, and I didn't end up going. I never went, and my dreams of being a mountain climber were dashed, you know? I'm sure all of us had a time or two like that. All of us had a time or two where the plans we had just didn't work out. But here's the thing for all of us. See, when it comes to our plans, if you get your notes, go ahead and get those out there, because this is true for every single one of us in this life, is that when it comes to our plans, here it is, that sometimes plans don't always go the way we plan them to go, right, everybody? The plans we make don't always go the way we plan them to go. And so let's read about this. Let's get into Luke chapter 1. We're going to read a little bit, because here's the thing about the Christmas story that we need to understand. See, the Christmas story is a situation that was, at least from the human standpoint, not God's. It was not at all planned as far as our people went. The stresses had to have been unbelievable. You know, I think sometimes, and I say that because I think sometimes we kind of romanticize the Christmas story, right? We all have the nativity scene in our homes right now. We have this story in our heads where like babies born, Mary and Joseph are just like, ah, looking into each other's eyes, and the barn is nice and warm and cozy, smells like cinnamon and apples, and the animals are all looking at a little baby Jesus, and everybody's wearing their robes and their Birkenstocks, and they're like, oh, there's an angel singing away in a manger on top of the roof, you know? And I don't want to ruin your visual of this, but that is not at all what was going on that day, everybody, okay? Because like with Mary, think about Mary, for instance. I mean, think about being a teenager and being good and being upstanding and getting ready to marry your dream guy and be with him for the rest of your life. And before all that happens, an angel says, hey, you're pregnant with God's baby. Don't worry, it'll all work out, right? And I couldn't imagine, like, wait, what, right? Couldn't imagine the burden of that, the pressure of that, the weight of it, let alone, like, how do you even explain what the angel just told you there, right? How do you explain that to anybody? What are people gonna say? And so let's read about it. Let's get in here. Luke 1, we're going to read this in verse 28. It says the angel went to Mary and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, hey, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So Mary gets interrupted, right, by this angel, and we see she's troubled. Like she's scared. And wouldn't you be as well if this is what somebody told you as well as an angel came and showed up to you? You'd be afraid too. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this though. What are you troubled about this Christmas? What is not going to plan right now? Maybe it's your finances, or maybe it's a relationship, or your health, or something going on with your family or your spouse or a loved one. You know, I would say in a room this size, there's all kinds of things that are going on and coming up. And for us, even when things are going that way, they're not going our way or the way that we planned it or pictured it, it could shake us a little bit, can't it? It can rattle us a little bit. And it makes us wonder what God is doing or what he's even up to, or if he's doing anything at all. Some of us walked in today carrying a disappointment or maybe even a fear that you haven't shared with anybody that's not going to plan, because life just isn't lining up the way that we hoped it would. And here's what it does. It forces us to wrestle with what do we do with God, or what do we even believe about him when our plans don't work out. Plans don't work out for more than one reason, though. We know that, right? Like, there's not just one reason why our plans don't work out. There's a whole bunch of different reasons why our plans get messed up. And why I say that, though, is because, listen, knowing why or knowing where they're coming from or which one you're experiencing, it can take a whole lot of weight off your shoulders, and it can bring an incredible amount of understanding, especially when it comes to God. So the first thing we need to know about plans when they get messed up is this, is like, listen, not everything that happens is God's will. Like, I hope you understand that. Like, God doesn't plan evil. Like, God isn't up in heaven, like, designing cancer or abuse or tragedy. That's not what he does. That all of that is a result of sin and living in a fallen world, in a broken world. So just because something happens doesn't mean that God willed it to happen. We got to settle that, everybody. Now listen, because here, God is good even when life isn't. Amen, somebody? God is good even when life happens. And while God can work all things, all the tragedy to his good and for your good, it doesn't mean that he's causing that thing to happen. There's a big difference there. But sometimes things don't work out for us. Plans don't fit because we're the ones who mess it up. We ain't got to look anywhere past ourselves, everybody, right? I know for me, there's a lot of times where I'm like, I don't got to think about that. I know I'm the one who did it because maybe we didn't pray about it enough, or maybe we just jumped the gun a little bit in making a decision, or maybe it was just the choice we made wasn't the wisest and we were in the repercussions of our plans get messed up. But sometimes it's not us, it's somebody else who made a decision, it affects our life. So what I'm trying to say is, all that to say is, like, we can't pin all of this on God. Sometimes it's just life or me or somebody else, right? But then there's this third category, everybody. There's this thing, this time when God clearly interrupts our plans on purpose. Sometimes God just steps in because he actually has something bigger for you in your life. He has something bigger in mind. And that's what we see with Mary here. This is what's going on with her. It was clearly an intervention by God, an interruption by God, because she wasn't doing anything wrong. Like, she was doing everything right. Like, her life wasn't off track. God just had a better plan, one that she never would have picked, but it was one that changed everything for her. And it's the first thing that we need to see if you got your notes with God and plans, because here it is. Because sometimes what we call interruptions are absolutely God's invitations. What we see as interruptions might be what God is clearly divinely doing in our life. Think about Mary's plan, right? Think about her plan. Like, she was thinking before the angel appeared about her wedding day with Joseph and how they were going to have this great honeymoon. I don't know where they went to, maybe see a Galilee resort and spa, who knows, right? Like, it's gonna be great on the beach and just so fun. And they're gonna find a place to live, they're gonna have a baby, and they're gonna name him Bartholomew, because that's what everybody did, right? But then God interrupted her plan. And at first, let's just be honest, it doesn't seem like a real good plan, right? Seems complicated. It seems almost scandalous for Mary to conceive like this. And Mary showed it. Mary showed it. Like, I mean, it was clearly divine. An angel appeared. She knew it was an angel and said, hey, this is God talking. But it says that she was still greatly troubled. Greatly troubled. Like, wait, God, wait, this is the plan? Are you sure? I can't believe this is it. I had the plan. It wasn't a bad plan, God. It all lined up. This was a good plan for my life. Why is this happening? Why is this going on? You know, I think some of us, looking back in our lives, knowing that it was a clear interruption by God in our life, looking back now, we can see how God lined it all up. See, but Mary's not there yet. She's not there yet. She's confused. She's disturbed. She's wondering, how does this all fit? And here it is. Why her, of all people? But gang, here's what I want to tell you. See, what's true of Mary is also what's true of you and me. And so I hope that you know this. And if you've been coming to River Ridge for any time, you know this, because we talk about this all the time. You hear this a lot. Here's what the Bible clearly tells us. The Bible tells us all over the place that you were made with a purpose. God made you. He designed you. He put you at this time, at this point, because he put you here for a purpose. He put you here because he made you. You are not a mistake. You are here exactly for a reason. And a huge part of your meaning is attached to finding your purpose that God put you on this earth for, and then doing that purpose that he put in you. I remember when God interrupted my life 17 years ago. It was a clear interruption from God. It wasn't any of the other stuff. I was working a normal job. Like, Cordy and I were comfortable, we were happy, and like Mary, we had plans. We had plans. None of them were bad. No, like, they were good plans, and none of them included this title of pastor for my life. Then God clearly directed me to a different plan. It was his plan. It was his purpose for me, and my life completely changed 17 years ago, everybody. And I want to tell you this, he wants that for you too. He wants that for every single one of you that he made. So before we get into this, I wanna give you a few things to know about God's plans for you. Just, you need to know some of these things, just so you know. First thing, if you wanna write these down about God's plans, is God's plan is always bigger. I just think you should know that. For your life, his plan is always bigger. And God's plan is always bigger than yours is, because see, everybody, he's got a bigger perspective than you do. See, God sees all of it. We only see a little bit at a time. God can see everything. We only can see so far and so much. And when you, though, can start to see the way that he sees things, see the perspective that he sees, then what you'll start to see is that he wants to do so much more in you. That he could do immeasurably more, like fantastically far more than you ever could imagine. Amen, somebody out there? Way more than you could ever plan. If you get anything from this message today, get this from Joseph and Mary's story. It says, God wants to do something big in you. He put you down here to do a big God thing in your life. He has something just for you. I think a big step that all of us can take this season, not just this season, but every day in our lives, is that we can approach every day in the way of saying, okay, God, I am available to you. Like, I'm totally available to you. Use me the way that you made me for, God. Man, that's a bold prayer. I'll tell you why that's such a bold prayer, because when you really commit yourself to that prayer, to say, use me the way that you made me to, what you're doing is you're saying, all right, man, I'm surrendering my plans. I'm gonna live for your plans today, God. That's a different kind of prayer. But we should want this though, everybody. You know why? Because God's plan is bigger. It's bigger. And so if God's plan is always bigger, why wouldn't we want to do that? Well, let's look at the second thing to know about God's plan. It's just because it's bigger, it doesn't mean it's always easier. God's plan isn't always easier. Can somebody say amen to that, right? It's true. It's true. And I think this right here, everybody, is why a lot of people don't pray that bold prayer. You know, here's the truth. I thought about this a lot. Do you know what the truth is about human beings? We're kind of like cows. I'm not calling you a cow, okay? So don't email me. That's not what I'm saying. We are like cows. Human beings are like cows. So let me explain this. Like, you ever like drive by like where there's a pasture of cows, but if there's a hilly terrain behind them or something like that. And if you ever look really closely into that hill, here's what you'll notice. You will notice a worn, winding path up and down that hill. And here's why. Because what cows do is they take the path of least resistance, and then they'll use that same path over and over and over again. And that describes our human nature. Because listen, for most of us, not all of us, but for most of us, see, it's our way to take the easy way. It is. It's our way to take. We will take the path of least resistance to get the life that just works for us. We'll do that. But see, God works in a different way with his plan. He does. Here's what God says. God says, hey, I'm just going to be really upfront with you. And he goes, I'm going to tell you my plan is not easy. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. In fact, it will be harder. Why? Like, why does he do that? Here's why. Because God is way more interested in your character than he is in your comfort, everybody. Way more interested in your character being developed than your comfort. He is. And you know why he is? Because this ain't it. Like, this life down here is just a blip on the screen of eternity, everybody. And right now, this life that you live, this is the only proving ground we will ever have of our faith. I hope you know that. Like, this life that we have is so short. We don't think about it as much as we should think about it. But it's so short, and this is the only time. We're just here for a little while, and this is the proving ground of our faith. You know, I heard somebody say this the other day in a devotional. It just stuck with me. He said, God will never remove something from you if it will make you more like Jesus. He'll never remove something from you. He might not cause it, but he might not remove it if it will make you more like Jesus. Character development is so critical for us, so crucial. And this is the only time we have to work on it. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's not easy, but it's so important in our preparation for eternity. So it's not always easier. So why do it then? Like, if it's not easier, like, why follow God's plan? Because of the third thing, because God's plan has greater rewards. Amen, somebody? Greater rewards. Man, listen, when you're living God's plan, like, you know you're going after the thing that he made you to do, even though it's interrupting your plan, even though it's not easier. He never promises it will be, by the way, but when you are going after God's purpose for your life, here's what you will find. And this is why people do it. You will find two things. You will find significance and you will find satisfaction. And I'm telling you, everybody, those two things are on top of the list of what everybody's searching for in this life. Everybody's looking for. Nothing can replace the feeling of significance and satisfaction in your life. You know why? Because it brings things in like peace and comfort and belonging and value. And I am here to tell you, because there's proof in my life, the only one who could fully give that to you is the one who created you. He's the only one that can fully give that to you. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says it like this, that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And so here's what's true. You can find pieces of it in your plan, pieces of significance, pieces of satisfaction. You can find pieces of it in other plans, but you will never fully be satisfied like you are when you discover God's plan and live for that. It's just true. And so this is where Mary was, right? She's interrupted with her plans. The angel was telling her what was going on. And here it is. She had a choice. Mary has a choice. And here it is with us. See, we have a choice as well. And so here's what Mary chooses. Verse 38, she said this, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. So here's what Mary did. If you want to write this down, this is what we could do as well. Mary chose to trust God and accept his plan. She chose to trust God and accept his plan. You know, I don't know how you're feeling about your plans and you know, how they're lining up right now with God. And or if you're feeling like Mary, maybe some of you are feeling like Mary right now, maybe with how things are, confused or disturbed or thinking, man, there's no way this is the plan, Lord. Maybe some of you are feeling just like that. But here's what I want to tell you. With whatever it is that you're going through, whether it was caused by somebody else, maybe your decisions, or maybe it is one of these divinely inspired interruptions, whatever it is, here it is. For all of them, there is a key, though, to unlock the door to get to the other side with whatever it is you're getting and going through. And here it is. It's to put it in God's hands, everybody. That's the key. That whatever it is, you got to put it in God's hands, because God, this is bigger than me. Like, whatever it is that's messing my plans up is bigger than me. I can't figure all of this out, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to accept your plan from this point on, even though I don't understand it. I'm not going to carry this myself. I'm just not going to do that. That's what Mary did on this first Christmas. Everybody has the same decision to make as well in our lives at some point, to come and say, okay, I'm gonna trust you, God. I'm just gonna trust you. You know why? Because you made me. Like, you know me, you love me, you have a purpose and a plan for my life. And here's what I wanna tell you about trust. Trust is a choice. And it's a choice that we can all make, and it's also a choice that we could choose not to do. And Joseph, right? Think about Joseph's story. Like, imagine what he was going through. Talk about an unexpected circumstance. So if you're in your Bibles, flip to Matthew 1. We're going to read his story a little bit. Matthew 1, go ahead and turn to there. And we're going to be in verse 19. Matthew 1. Let's read a little bit about Joseph. Here's what it says about him. I'll wait for a minute. Again, like, first service, I loved hearing all the flipping of the pages. I'll wait for you to get there. We'll see if you can get there faster in first service, though. They're still waking up, everybody, okay? Like, I'm still listening. Everybody say here when you're there. All right, good. Here we go. Verse 19. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Okay, so here's the thing about Joseph. We actually don't know a whole lot about Joseph, but this tells us everything that we need to know. First thing we need to know is where it says that he is a just man. And so what this is a phrase that actually has significance. And what this was saying is that he wasn't just a good guy. Like, he wasn't just a good guy, went to church, helped old ladies across the street. That's not what this meant. What this actually meant, just man was a phrase to mean that he was righteous, he was upright, he was faithful to the Mosaic law that they knew then. He was a full-on follower of God. Like, he wanted to give God glory in everything that he did. And so faith was really important to Joseph, because he just wanted to represent God in the best way he could, okay? And so he thought about his marriage, and he thought about his family, and he thought about all of this, honoring God. And then Joseph gets this news. I mean, imagine it. It's hard for us to wrap our brains around how devastating this is, because our culture is so different today. But this broke sacred law. And there was a lot of emotions going on with him, I'm sure. But I think the one emotion that he had to be going on and had to be lurking, and it's something that can happen to us, by the way, when our plans get interrupted. Here it is, that sometimes interruptions can lead to resentment. They can lead us absolutely to resentment. I could see that happening with Joseph. Now, we don't know how he finds out. It doesn't tell us. Maybe he heard it directly from Mary. Maybe he heard it from his parents. But there was probably rumors going around town. It was a small town, right? But what we do know is that he finds out before the wedding. He finds out before the time came for them to even try to start having kids. And then there's Mary, I'm imagining, trying to tell Joseph, hey, listen, don't worry. I haven't been with another guy. It's from the Holy Spirit. It is great. And he's like, no, it's not great. I don't know what to do with this, right? He's like, how are people going to believe this? And here's the answer. No one was going to believe this. The only thing that they were going to conclude both were bad was that either Mary and Joseph were together before they got married, or that she was with another man. Either one, there would be dishonor, disgrace. Everything would be gone for what Joseph thought the plan for his life would be, to honor God with everything that he was doing. And the feelings of anger and bitterness, this isn't the plan, God, had to come flooding in. And gang, I'm here to tell you, it's times like that for us where we find a whole lot out about ourselves, isn't it? We really do. Let's see what happens to Joseph here. Verse 20. It says, so as he considered these things, though, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not till she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, I find something really interesting in here is when I read it, and it's in the front of what we read, where it says, as he considered these things, because what I read into that, it doesn't say that in here, but what I read into that is when it says, as he considered these things, it was a sign to me that he was really trying to listen to God, that he was, even in the middle of this complete mess up, he was still open to God's voice in his life. And so here was the choice that Joseph made as resentment was trying to win, that he chose to remain obedient to God's will. That he chose to remain obedient to God's will. You have no idea what one act of obedience to God could do for your life. It could change your life. One act of simple obedience just like this could change the direction and the course of your life. I believe that. And I love Joseph's story. I do. I love it because when you really study him, you'll see we do not have a lot about him at all beyond this. But you know what we do have in these short sentences? What we do have is a powerful testimony of staying obedient in the face of everything telling him not to. Think about it. Everything was saying, don't stay obedient to that. Look at this mess of your life. Look at everything that's not working out. Why would you stay obedient to God like that? But yet the first thing we see happen is he stays obedient to God in his life. And so let me ask you this, are there areas in your life right now where this needs to happen? Maybe there's an area of obedience that you need to stay on, regardless of what's going on in your life. That maybe God didn't do it, but maybe just staying obedient could change everything. Maybe for some of you, you're in clear disobedience and right now you need to repent. And say, man, I'm following my plan, God, and my plan is absolutely, I know it for sure is not the way I should be going. And you just need to turn from that and repent and allow God's forgiveness and grace and mercy to come into your life. Because here's what I want to tell you, and you got to really let this kind of set in here. You will only find yourself following God's plan when you stay obedient to God's will. You can't find God's plan if you're disobedient to God's will, clear directions and precepts and things that he commands that he's telling you to do. You know, when you look at Mary and Joseph, here's what you see. Here's what you see. Like, you know, again, it's not this picture perfect thing of circumstances where everything just fits in. It's like, no, that's not what we see. No, here's what we see. What we see are two people whose lives were completely flipped upside down by God's plan, right? And they didn't see it coming. They had a different plan altogether for their life, and life got interrupted. But it's in the middle of all that confusion and fear and not knowing what would happen next. Here's what they did, everybody. They trusted God. They trusted God. Mary trusted when she didn't understand, and Joseph obeyed when it didn't make sense. And you know, for us, like, here's the takeaway today. You know, here's what I want to tell you. And I think some of us may think this, but, like, I hope you know that, like, God does not give you a map to your life. Like, if you think that that's what's going on, maybe you're missing a gear. No, that's not what he does. He doesn't give any of us a map to our life where you know every single thing is going to happen and you're going to get right to the destination that you want to be. That's just not how God works there. He doesn't do that, by the way. But here's, I'll tell you what he does give. He doesn't give you a map, but you know what he does give you, everybody? He gives you his light. He gives you his son, Jesus. And here's the thing, the truth of Jesus, it might not be a map, but you know what it is? It's a compass. And let me tell you what a compass does for your life. If you get a compass moving in there, it'll tell you, here's the direction you need to go. That's what a compass does. Here's where you need to start heading. And you get to decide. This is the good news, I'm telling you. I'm actually thankful I don't have a map. I'm thankful so many times in my life because I probably wouldn't have trusted it, I'm telling you. But we get to follow, and you get to choose your adventure. You get to choose to go in that direction that Jesus tells you to go in and navigate the turns, and you get to come across these things that were surprises or things that you're like, oh man, I didn't realize that was what God was gonna do. And here's what I wanna tell you, the more you stay close to God, the more you remain in his word, and again, I know that's a word that he's given me that we're gonna talk a lot about in 2026, is being faithful to his word and getting his word every day. I just feel like God's impressing on that for me, for the church in 2026. But the more you get closer and closer to Jesus, here's the thing, the less dead ends you'll find, the less brighter patches you'll find yourself in. Amen, everybody? Like, you'll just start finding more. And then each step we take closer and closer to God, the more significance and satisfaction will come in our lives. And then every now and then, you see, God will interrupt. He will divinely and clearly do something in your life where it will completely put you on a turn and it will change your direction in an instant. But we need to be ready for that. We need to be praying for that. We need to be following his will for us to have those opportunities that I know God wants for every single one of you here today. Amen? Amen. I want to pray for us. And so prayer team could come forward. Just give us a minute to think about, I don't know, man, this is a big thought about the plans that he has for you. Like, as you sit, he has a plan for your life. And you know, right now, maybe some of you, like, you don't have to look past yourself, that maybe something's going on with there that you know that you've messed your plans up or that you've messed God's plans up. Here's the great thing about God's plans. You can't mess up God's plan for your life. And it, like, you can't mess it up enough for you to get back on his plan. You can just come straight to him. You can repent. You could turn and say, I'm not on your plan, God. I want to be on your plan. Man, we would love to pray for you. We're here to pray for you. And maybe that's not what's going on in your life. Maybe something else is going on in your life right now. Something completely different than that. Maybe something in your family. Maybe it's just something going on in your health or something. But that's why we're up here for every, at the end of every service. So I'm gonna stand all of us up right now and pray for us. But if you wanna come forward at any point, let's all stand. And if anybody wants prayer right now, we would love to pray over you. Don't miss that opportunity. Getting prayed over brings so much healing to your life. So just take advantage of the team up here. We'd love to do that. But for the rest of us, let me pray for us. And you can come up anytime that you want prayer right now. God, thank you for your plan. Thank you that you have something far bigger than we could ever imagine. And just to sit in that and think about that, it actually really causes me to think a lot about like where I've messed up or what I've done wrong. But God, I just pray that we repent from whatever that is and we just look and say, I want to be on your plan. I want to be going in your direction. I want to be heading towards what you want for me because I know, God, that what you want for me is bigger than I could ever imagine. I pray that over every man, woman, student in here because I know that he has divinely given you a plan. He wants to change your life. He gave you a purpose to live for, and I pray that we find it. And for somebody out there, for right now, like somebody needs to get back on the path, get back on his plan, repent from where you are. You're not past his forgiveness. You're not past his grace and mercy. You could just get right back on his path and you can say, God, I've just been living my plan too much. I'm ready to turn that over to you. I want to be on your plan. And you can repent right now from that. And God will forgive you and his grace will come rushing in and you could find yourself back to his purposes in your life. God, for anybody who needed to pray that prayer, I thank you for your mercy and love. It is so strong and so huge that you could just allow us to be back in your plan. Jesus, thank you for making this possible. Thank you for coming down. This is what it's all about. We wanna look to you for the reason that we're getting to celebrate all of this because you came down, love came down, mercy triumphs and love triumphs over all this stuff. And I just pray that we just get a step closer to you today and we pray for all this and we all say this together. Jesus' name, come on everybody, amen, amen. Hey, hope you have a good Sunday. If you're on a ministry team, don't forget to grab your gift. Please come up and get prayed for if you need prayer, and we'll see you next Sunday.